It's so good to be here with you guys tonight. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the book of Philemon. That's what the Lord put on my heart, Philemon. So go ahead and turn to Philemon. Philemon is one chapter long. So Philemon chapter 1, I guess. So Pastor Louis has a great song to help you find this. When I was a youther in his youth group, he taught us this great song. But part of it goes, Philemon, Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. Yeah. And so Philemon is there a few books before the end. Real small, though. So Philemon speaks of a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus didn't like his situation with Philemon, and so he ran away. And Philemon, the owner of Onesimus, and in those days that was how it was, they were owned like cattle or other property, and the slaves had no rights. And to run away would have been death. And so Onesimus, not liking his situation with Philemon, did run away. Now, Philemon was a Christian, and he had a church within his home. He had a home church in the town of Colossae, which is where Paul wrote the book of Colossians to, right? That epistle to the people in Colossae. And so Onesimus, who is not a believer, runs away from his believing master and somehow finds his way into Rome. And there he meets up with the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't you know it? The Apostle Paul there in Rome, who's in prison. Not sure how they met up, but Philemon becomes a Christian there in Rome through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so the Apostle Paul, as we read through this, is going to call Philemon his son because he's his son in the faith. So now you have this situation where Paul has a runaway slave who is an outlaw. He's received Christ as his Savior, and he's actually proven himself as a believer to be a very diligent worker and to be very profitable to Paul there in prison. And Paul decides, you know what, Onesimus, you need to go back. You need to go back to Philemon, and this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to write a letter on your behalf. I'm going to write a letter interceding for you and pleading on your behalf to Philemon. And that's what this letter is. It's Paul writing to Philemon saying, hey, I'm sending Onesimus back to you, who is now a Christian. He's a brother in Christ, and I am asking you to treat him not as a slave, but to receive him as a brother and to forgive him of any wrongs that he's done to you, because apparently there may have been some. Maybe Onesimus grabbed some money on his way out, or something like that. And so let's go ahead and begin this epistle together. In verse 1, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. To the beloved Appia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. And so he's addressing Philemon as a beloved friend and a fellow laborer. Don't you love this? I just love how the Apostle Paul has such affection for the body of Christ, for the brothers and sisters in Christ. He's so in love with the Lord and with the Lord's people. He has such an incredible ministry towards the bride of Christ. He understands that each person who's saved, who's in the family of God, is the bride of Christ. We don't mess with God's bride. That's his bride. We are the bride of Christ. If you look around you and you see the other believers in this room tonight with you, they are the bride of Christ. They're his spouse. And, you know, in the Old Testament it says, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Meaning, if someone messes with you, it's like they came right up to God and poked him in the eye. Whoa. And so the Apostle Paul, really understanding this and having affection for the people of God and the bride of Christ, and you just see it come out in all of his writing, even to the Corinthians, where he's rebuking them for all kinds of misbehavior in the church and wrong methods and everything. He just commends them as he begins that epistle to them, understanding that they're saved by grace and that they are the bride of Christ. And so then he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying, man, I pray for you. I mention you all the time in my prayers. Why? Because I've heard of your love, and I've heard of your faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus, the same Lord Jesus I love, the same Lord Jesus that died for me, that Lord Jesus you love, and that Lord Jesus died for you. And so, man, I'm all over it. I'm praying for you because of that. And not only do you have faith and love towards the Lord Jesus, but just as he has faith and love towards the Lord Jesus, he has faith and love towards the saints. And isn't that the way it works? As we have faith and love towards the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to come out towards what he cares about. And what does he care about? He cares about his people. He cares about you. And so that's God's heart for us as well, is that we would, if we're caring for him, if we're loving Jesus Christ, and if we're having faith in him, that's going to come out towards his people, towards his people. And so he prays for him because of this. And what does he pray? Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I love this. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Oh, and there's so much good in Philemon in Christ Jesus, because Philemon has been forgiven of all of his sins, removed from him as far as the east is from the west. And not only that, but he gets to go to heaven because Jesus rose from the dead and is alive at the right hand of the Father to make intercession, right? And because of this, Philemon gets to go to heaven and has an inheritance, an eternal inheritance in the heavens. He's been forgiven. He's been redeemed. He's been washed in the blood. He's accepted in the beloved. And all of these things I'm saying you can find in Ephesians chapter 1. And when you're struggling with your identity in Christ Jesus and you're beginning to get down on yourself, you can go to Ephesians chapter 1 and remind yourself what God says about you and who you are in Christ. That's where I go. And so here, the Apostle Paul is saying, man, I'm praying for you that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Remembering who you are in Christ is going to make your ministry effective. And it's going to bring confidence, because, man, we can't have confidence in ourselves, but we can have confidence in God Almighty, and he will not fail. And it's his Holy Spirit that brings us power to be effective in our ministries. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Man, he's just so happy for Philemon's ministry there in his home to the saints. He's so blessed by it. He calls him brother. And I love this. And now he's going to get down to business and say, hey, here's why I wrote to you, brother. But notice how he commends him first. I actually learned this from Pastor Louis. I know I mention you a lot, Pastor Louis, but I love you, brother. You've taught me so much. And of course, Pastor Louis learned this from the Word, that when you approach somebody and you have something that you have to say to them, maybe a word of correction or something, it's really good to start with the positive and say, hey, you know, it's good to see you, and say something positive about them. And then you get into the correction or what needs to, you know, be said. And then you always end on a positive note. What did you call it? The sandwich effect, or the sandwich, hamburger, whatever. And I've always remembered that, and that has helped me out in situations where I need to do that. So anyway, I thought I would mention that. So now he's commended him, and this is not, it's not contrived. This is legitimate. And that's how it needs to be from us too, because people know when you're faking it. You know, don't they? They know. And so we got to keep it real, as Pastor Steve would say. Does he still say that? Keep it real? Or is that back in the day? Does he still say that, Sergi? Okay, good. I'm just making sure. All right. So verse 8, he says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, look, because of the status that God has given me within the church, this is the Apostle Paul, because of his apostolic privileges, he could command, or his position, he could command, but he's saying, I'm not going to do that. Although, instead, I'm going to appeal to you. Being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Hey, man, I'm getting older. I'm in prison. I'm not commanding people around so much. So, hey, I'm going to appeal to you. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Now, I don't know if Philemon, received this letter from Onesimus' hand, or if he got this letter in advance of Onesimus coming. But if he had not seen Onesimus or known what this letter was about, he may have gotten a little pit in his stomach when he read that name. Is there someone, you know, whose name, when you hear their name, you kind of go, ugh, that person. You know, ooh, there's a little cringe, you know? This would have been that person for Philemon. Ooh, Onesimus. The guy who ripped me off, the guy who ran as a runaway slave, who just bailed on us. That guy? Oh man, I've been wanting to catch up with that guy for a while, you know? Could be what Philemon's thinking. The Bible doesn't say. But the way that Paul's writing here, it would indicate that Paul's concerned about that. And so he reads this name, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Well, your son, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. So you see, Onesimus had become a Christian there in Rome, and that means he was born again. And to be born again means to be completely changed, right? All things are past, and we got, behold, all things become new, and you're a new creature in Christ, and your old way is gone, and you go under the water when you're baptized, and you die, and you're buried with Christ, and you rise again into newness of life, into new behaviors, into new thinking, into everything's new. And so that is what has happened to Onesimus. And of all people to have a heart of compassion and understanding for Onesimus, it would be Paul, the guy who used to arrest Christians, the guy who used to have them killed, and the guy who God apprehended, right, on that road to Damascus. And his life was never the same, and he was changed. And so here, Onesimus has experienced that, and Paul has witnessed it and seen it, and is then writing to Philemon to say, man, Onesimus is not the same guy that you knew before. He's coming to you better, a better person, not an unprofitable person, but instead profitable to you and to me. Verse 12, I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Whom I wish to keep with me. He's saying that he wished that Onesimus could have stayed with him, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. You know, I love that Paul here is just presuming goodwill from Philemon, that Philemon would have said, you know what? This is amazing. My slave Onesimus has found Paul, has found the Lord, and he's ministering to Paul. Stay there, man. Minister to him. And Paul is thinking the best of Philemon. That's what Philemon would be thinking instead of that stinking Paul. What's he doing? He took my slave and he's using him for his own good now. I love that. Verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. It's not like he can just call him on the phone, you know, dial him up. Hey, Philly, what's up, buddy? And so he said, without your consent, I didn't want to do this, that your good deed might not be my by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. So Paul wants Philemon to do this good deed, to receive Onesimus as a brother rather than a slave, and to forgive him, not out of compulsion because he's being made to, but voluntarily. And that's the heart that God wants for each and every one of us too in our ministry. In fact, if we do things because we feel like we're being made to, how long does that last? You know, it really doesn't. But instead, when we're doing it voluntarily, when we're surrendering ourselves to the Lord, instead of seeing ourselves as being forcefully conquered by God, we see ourselves as, I've given myself to him. I've laid down my life for him. I'm yours, God. And then we serve him with gladness, don't we? Praise the Lord. And so he wants it to be voluntary. Verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. Whoa, Paul's always looking for the greater purpose, right? What is God doing here? God has plans. God has purposes. God works in so many different ways to bring things together and to make things happen. And so he says, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? How much more if you receive Onesimus back and you forgive him and you receive him as a brother, how much more to you will he benefit because he's your fleshly brother and he's your brother in the Lord? Even better, brothers in the Lord, family. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Oh, man. What a blessing. Receive him as you would receive me. You know, we're gonna get into this in a little bit, but can you see the heart of Christ in this? Can you begin to identify with Onesimus, the runaway slave? All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. But Jesus laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. Jesus came and rescued us. And he says to the Father, Father, receive whoever, each of you, me, as you would me. He says to the Father, Father, receive my son James as you would me. And I get to be received into heaven, into the kingdom by the Father with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is awesome. And so this is the heart of Jesus being poured out here in this letter. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Verse 18, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Can you hear the words of Jesus again? If he owes you anything, Father, if he's done anything wrong, put it on my account. And that's what Jesus did for us. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Hey, you can bank on this, Philemon. I am going to repay anything that he owes you, any wrong he's done, I'll repay it. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. How so? Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul apparently had a great impact on Philemon to the point where Philemon owes him this. And he says then, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Look, don't disappoint me on this. Don't receive Onesimus as a runaway slave and have him condemned or disciplined. He's changed. Forgive him. And man, my heart's going to be refreshed, and I'm going to feel joy when you do. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. That's awesome. The Apostle Paul just planting those thoughts in Philemon that, look, man, I'm asking you to do something basic when it comes to Christianity, but I think you're going to go above and beyond that. And isn't that what the Father does for us? As Jesus would just say, don't hold it against them, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then the Father receives us and not only forgives us of our sins and says, and has mercy on us and says, you don't have to go to hell, but you get to be a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And you get to inherit all things. And you get to live eternally in the family of God, adopted as a son. And wouldn't that be cool if we get to heaven and find out that Philemon not only forgave Onesimus and had received him as a brother, but said, you know what? I'm going to adopt you as my son, and you're going to be my inheritor. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, anyway, I thought that was a cool thought. So he says to him that he has confidence in his obedience and knowing that you will do even more than I say. Verse 22, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. He wants to go visit there. And then he says his farewells. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greet you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I just love the oneness, the flavor of this epistle, as Paul is just gushing out love and talks about partnership and talks about fellow laboring, and words like this. I just love it when Paul does that, because this is the truth of who we are. And so often we can get so contentious with one another where we lose that. We lose that fellowship that God wants us to have with one another, that oneness, that keeping in remembrance, especially as we're taking communion. It's a great reminder when we're doing that, that we're not only remembering the body and the blood of Jesus and how we are cleansed of our sins, but also the other people around me who are also partaking of that same body and that same blood, that they are one with me and we are one with Christ. We're one. And, if we can keep that perspective, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can behave as one. And we won't start saying bad things about each other behind each other's backs. And, you know, the competing for this, that, or the other thing, whether it be attention or ministries or whatever it be, oneness in the Lord. Amen. oneness in the Lord. Now, there's three things that I wanted to talk about from this chapter. I better keep an eye on, oh yeah, boy, I got 35 minutes. No, not 35. I better stop at 20 after, right? You guys need 10 minutes to do some worship, more worship, right? All right, good, good. Onesimus. First of all, let's step into the shoes of Onesimus in this. And how, and we've already done that a little bit. We can relate to Onesimus because we have been forgiven so much. We have gone astray ourselves. We've run away. And our punishment is death because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Take a look at verse 11. So Paul's writing to the people in Colossians. This is where Philemon lived. And he says in verse 11, in him, that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It's a circumcision of the heart. Remember that circumcision was a sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, and that you're not going to live according to the flesh. And so now he's saying there's a circumcision of the heart. It's not just outward behaviors, but it comes from the inside and then shines out and shows forth in our good behaviors. But he's saying here then, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the older I get, the more I realize how deep the sin goes and how much God has forgiven me. And that just keeps going. You know, you're just like, and then the worship gets deeper and it gets more passionate because you're just like, man, God has forgiven me so much. Thank you, God. You're just so awesome. And so he says here, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. If you ever watch those little video clips of Ray Comfort and how he comes and he starts with the law. And, you know, he says, oh, so anyway, he starts going through the Ten Commandments, right? And he takes them from the behavior right to the heart, you know? Have you ever stolen anything? What does that make you? A thief. Have you ever hated someone in your heart? Well, yeah, well, that makes you a murderer, you know? And it's like, you know? And all are guilty before the law. But what has Christ done? It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And oh, this is what God has done for us, and this is what the Apostle Paul wants done for Onesimus. He knows it's done in the spiritual sense. He knows that Onesimus is accepted and forgiven by God, but he wants to see Philemon do this good work and receive Onesimus back and forgive him as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. And so we can relate to Onesimus in desiring that and also in changing. We're not the way that we used to be before we knew Christ. And we're not even the way that we used to be, hopefully, 10 years ago, if we've been walking with the Lord and not backslidden. We've been going through that sanctification process of daily being conformed into His image. And so then we want to step now into the shoes of Philemon, right? Okay, so we're leaving Onesimus. We're getting into Philemon's shoes. And we should forgive others. We should forgive others. This is a tough one, especially if you've been wronged deeply, deeply wronged. It's really hard. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. And in fact, we're commanded to do so. And so let's take a look at that parable in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21. It says in verse 21, Matthew 18, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Peter, man, you're pretty awesome. Seven times, huh? Woo!" That's probably what he was thinking. And then verse 22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Woo, that's 490. See, math is in the Bible. That's what I told my students when I was teaching junior high. Is math not? Oh yeah, math's in the Bible. There it is. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. It's a fortune. There's no way this guy could pay it back. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made." Wow, they were harsh back then. "The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." Gone. You're totally forgiven. You don't owe me a single penny. I'm not going to put you in prison. I'm not going to put your wife and your kids in prison. You're free of the debt. Go. Be blessed. Woohoo! Oh my goodness. Imagine how excited that man was that day. Have you ever had, well, maybe I shouldn't even ask this question, but you know, maybe you owed someone some money. Maybe it was a credit card or something. And then finally, you got it paid off. Maybe it was a car or a house. And finally, you got it paid off. And you were just like, yeah, what a day to rejoice. And of course, Jesus has wiped out our debt. Praise the Lord. And so, here comes the exhortation, verse 28. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And this is pennies compared to the debt that he had owed. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Ouch. These are some stern words from our Lord. We're commanded to forgive. This is the heart of Christ. This is why Christ came and died, so that we could be forgiven. And he doesn't want us to take that for granted, and he wants us to pay it forward. because we are one in Christ and we are brothers and sisters. And so God, help us with this. And if we're having a hard time forgiving somebody, if that name, Onesimus, that person, then God wants us to do business with him. God wants us to begin to pray for that person. You know, there's never been a person in my life that when I was obedient to that command to pray for those who persecute you and spitefully use you, to pray for them, that God didn't give me love for. Every time. There was a guy that I worked with that was, he was quite the antagonist to me. He was just one of those guys, man. He'd been through a lot. I understood where he was coming from, but he really got under my skin, and I just kind of get irritated every day. One day he even stepped on my toes and gave me a shove. And I'm telling you, I'm like 39 years old, I'm like, what, are we back in junior high? What in the world, But it was amazing because I began to pray for him every single day. And not just pray, God, smite him, or God, this and that, or God, change him, although I wanted him to become a believer because he was not, so I did pray that. But blessings on him, and God, give me love for him. God, bless him in his work, those kinds of prayers. And God worked a change in me. And it didn't take long, Maybe it's, I don't know. Anyway, God can work fast. And so then I just had a love for this guy. And even now I look back on him with fondness, in that job. I'm like, man, we had some good times together, We had some good laughs and everything. And so the Lord did that. And so we begin to pray for those that even if they just irritate you, but even those that have wronged you deeply, and God will change your heart towards them because that's his heart. That's what he's done for you. That's what he's done for me. And so he will work that in us and fill us with his spirit to do the same for others. And of course, that's God's will within the body. His will is not for us to have contention with one another, but to be submissive and yielding to one another and to love each other as the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So now let's step into the shoes of Paul. We're actually going to finish early tonight. This is amazing. Let's step into the shoes of Paul. And Paul's ministry in this letter, right, was to encourage Philemon unto a good work. Philemon, I want to encourage you to forgive Onesimus and to receive him not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And that is a great ministry. And that's the ministry that God would have for all of us as well, to encourage one another unto good works. And so let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, it says, "And let us consider one another." Let's think about each other. Consider, to think about. Let's think about each other. Let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. When he says stir up, I always think of like a glass of water, and you take a little food coloring, and you put a couple drops in there. And it's slowly diffusing, throughout the water, but it's real slow. It's just concentrated. And so stir up, right? If you get in there and stir it up, then the whole water, it diffuses so much faster. And it saturates, right, the entire glass of water, and it becomes that color. And so stir up love and good works. Stir it up. Mix it around. Get it going. Activate it. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What day? The day of the Lord. And don't we see the day approaching? The day of the Lord. We're in the last days. And since we're in the last days, we should be even more thoughtful about gathering together and stirring up the gifts, encouraging one another unto good works. Hey, brother, keep going in this. Hey, sister, that was, you know, so awesome how you were singing worship up there. Keep it up. Don't get discouraged. You know, looking to, and praying to find out what your part is in the body of Christ. And then also to stir that up in other people as well. Amen? Amen. That's it. Praise the Lord. This is the first time in my whole life that I've ever run out of things to say. I could think of more, but I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to make stuff up just to keep going here. So what I would like to do is pray, and then we'll end with our worship songs. Amen. So Heavenly Father God, we just come before you right now, and we recognize that we are insufficient for these things, Lord God. We recognize that in our flesh, we don't want this, Lord. And there are people in our lives that maybe, quite frankly, we don't want to forgive, Lord. And I pray that you would rebuke that flesh, and we choose right now tonight to mortify the flesh, Lord God, to kill it, to put it on the cross. And we choose to live for you and to go with you and to go with your Holy Spirit and all the fruits of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And so I just pray in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to be forgiving, Lord God, quick to forgive, Lord. Even as you, when you were hanging on the cross, you said in the midst, right in the middle of, while they were wronging you, you had a heart of forgiveness for them. And you said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. God, I pray that you would give us that same heart, that even as maybe words are coming out of someone to revile us, Lord God, that we would have a heart of compassion and forgiveness and understand where those words are coming from, that we would see the pain that is in that person to make them want to hurt us, Lord God, and that we would have a heart of compassion and love, and we'd be able to say, Father, forgive them, even in the midst of it, Lord. Give us understanding, Jesus. Give us the power to not just hear these words, Lord, to hear your word, but to do it, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for this body, for Calvary Chapel Anaheim, Lord, that we would be one in Christ, that we would see each other for who we really are, forgiven and clean and brothers and sisters in the same family with the same Heavenly Father and partakers of the same grace, Lord God. And that we would have that heart for each other, and it would become a witness all around our community, that they would know that we're Christians because of the love that we have for one another, Lord God. Lord, make that even more so than it is today, Jesus. And so thank you, Heavenly Father. And we pray now that we could just worship you from our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you need prayer for anything, please come on up. Christy and I would love to pray with you. Maybe it's even for forgiveness in your own heart towards somebody, and you just want to take that step and come on up and say, you know what? I could use some prayer about that. We would love to pray with you. We've all been through it. We've been all through all kinds of stuff. So come on up and get prayer if you need it. And God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the week in the Lord. And go forth and worship the Lord. How do you like that ending?